Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Jeffrey, how are you feeling?
Fine, thank you.
I don't know why at all. I have felt stressed lately. I have felt stressed for no, like, there nothing particularly is going wrong in my life. But you know, I think the modern ailment is anxiety, right? And I've just felt anxiety and stress. So I thought I'd stop and begin the show, you know, by checking in. Did the word mentals did it used to exist until Marshawn Lynch said it?
Right.
Did mentals?
Yeah, I mean, most of my life I've heard, like, you got to get your mentals right.
Yeah. Oh, you've heard that?
Yeah.
Well, how are your mentals?
I think I'm fine, but now it sounds like my wife and my work wife both have what I would either deem pre-anxiety or, like, just constant anxiety.
I don't know. And to the extent I relate to it, doesn't she live in a state of anxiety?
She is an anxious person.
Like, isn't she kind of, you know,
yes,
like at a high RPMs?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So I don't know. I just, you know, and everyone's fighting about everything. I just, you know, it's, I really do think when I say that everyone's fighting about everything, it's mostly just on social media. Like, yeah, that's literally where it is. I went to I was at the grocery store the other day. And by the way, I took the risk yesterday of opening up the phone calls to ask what people are seeing and whatever else. And I appreciate everyone who called in, regardless of what your perspective is. I really do. Like, I have a friend here who's actually one of our clients, and I was talking to him about all this stuff. And he said to me, I just don't understand why anyone would be against this unless they're just against lawfulness, you know, like just anti-safety, you know, the pro-lawlessness. And I like him, and we had a good discussion about it and reasons you might be for it or against it or whatever. But in the end, we have to live with each other, like all of us as a community. And so I was at there are good people who have differing and nuanced, by the way, opinions on all of this. So, you know, I know people think I'm way left here, but I do believe in locking up bad people, you know, and I do like it when 240 is not a freaking drag strip. And I do, I used to remember in the early days when this was happening, I would argue with Chris Harrington about whether this was a crisis or just a crisis of perception.
Sure.
I thought it was do you remember those arguments?
Yeah, I did.
I thought it was a crisis. And so, like, I think lots of people have lots of nuanced views on all of this stuff. But I was at the grocery, and there was a woman checking out right in front of me. And there was the clerk and the cashier. And she happened to recognize me from the Daily Memphian or from wherever. And we just started talking about it. And then the clerk was great. The checkout, he just said, you know what? I just focus on right here. And he sort of held up his hands like, this is me and you and whatever. And there was just this moment of commonality between the three of us. Like, really? Life is not Twitter?
Yeah.
You know, it's not. It's not even Facebook, you know? And it's, and so I don't know. I hope out there, I hope your medals are okay. I got a friend named Jay Adkins who sent me, he writes pieces in his Substack. And I guess it's a Substack. He has a place where he writes pieces, essays. And he sent me one yesterday. And do you are you aware of the blue dot photo? That's what he called it. The blue dot photo. It's of, now I'm going to hash it because I didn't realize I was going to be talking about this. It was of some Apollo mission, right, that was heading out across the universe. And they had this idea to turn around and take a picture of Earth. And in this picture of Earth, it's not the big, beautiful, luminous picture of Earth from space, you know, where it looks so stunning and gorgeous. This is like, in fact, Google blue dot photo.
I've already
you
got
see it.
It? Yep. I know what you're talking about now.
Did you know that? I never even, I wasn't, I somehow lived my life blissfully aware of the blue dot photo.
Yep. It's the photograph of the Earth taken on February 14th, happy Valentine's Day, 1990, by the Voyager 1 space probe from an unprecedented distance of over 6 billion kilometers as part of that day's family portrait series of the solar system. In the photograph, Earth's apparent size is less than a pixel. The planet appears as a tiny dot.
At first, I didn't see it. I'm looking at the quote-unquote the blue dot photo. I saw no blue dot.
Correct.
I'm like, it just looks like darkness, right? And then you said that
you need to have the arrow.
Yeah, like, then there's another photo. Yeah. You can find a photo that has an arrow pointing to the blue dot, and then you see the blue dot. And I know the notion of perspective can be cliche, keeping things in perspective, right? Like that's I got to keep. This was the ultimate in perspective when you realize that you can't even see it. It's just this tiny little shred, and every single life, that's the point that Jay made, every single life that has ever been lived, that has lived and died and fought and loved and had anxiety about whatever, and all of it has taken place on that tiny, minuscule dot. And somehow it helped me. It doesn't mean that the battles you're fighting today and the challenges you have today, I don't know that I deserve applause for this. I'm being maudlin. I'm wandering into the deeply maudlin. But I don't know that it doesn't mean that the battles you have today and the things you have today aren't real, and they are, and the anxieties aren't real, or the worries you have about whether they're financial stress or illness or whatever it is aren't real. Of course they're real. But it is, there was a certain calm and perspective that came from it as I'm sitting about whether to fire off some response to something on Facebook. You know, that's all. That's all. I do think putting this stuff down, and I also think like the way we did it yesterday is better. It even got a little fractious, let's be honest. I felt like I was back on my heels, which is good. It means people came at me with different perspectives, and that's good. I think that's better than social media. I think even better is sort of recognizing, you know, our common humanity, even as you stand up for the things you believe, the principles you believe in. So anyway, maybe this entire discussion reveals that my mentals are a little shaky, Jeffrey. Mm. That's possible. Jeffrey came in to work just expecting another day, and now he realizes that his wife and his colleague here are both total mental basket
work
cases.
Work wife balance.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. So, how are Penny's mentals?
What was the term that you used on Twitter? Not fanmageddon. What was it?
It was like fandemonium.
Fandemonium. There we go.
Yeah, fandemonium. Yeah. You know what? I'm a little torn because here's the lineup for today. We got we got John Martin coming in next.
There you go.
Well, I was pondering a joke. Obviously, mm-hmm. I was pondering a joke, and then I decided it wasn't that funny. You got to mm-hmm. self-edit, you know. John Martin is coming
just
in.
Fire.
Fair. John Martin is coming in next. Then we got Chris Harrington after that.
Not coming in. Come on.
You're right. It will be coming. It'll be on with us after that.
There we go.
Not a chance. There's a much better chance that Chris might be in with us. After that, and then Sam Hardiman, who will talk to us about what is happening in the city. I'm a little torn because I suspect the thing that I will talk with John Martin about is Fandemonium, Penny Hardaway, and the Tigers. Right. We talked Chris Harrington. Grizzlies play tonight, by the way. Grizzlies. Play at FedEx Forum. The Celtics are in town. And so we'll talk to Chris about that. And again, we'll talk to Sam about everything that's happening in the city. So do I want to talk about, do we want to talk about the Penny stuff here? I know you're going to say it's my show. Okay. Let's do Grizz real quick.
All right.
Grizz Celtics tonight. And, you know, we won't overreact to this one either. Fair?
I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I know. I know Chris was sounded irritated that any would put any stock in it. Oh, I got to talk about something, you know?
Well, we saw them.
Yeah, we have to talk about Cedric Howard.
They played. Like, it didn't count, but they played.
I do think that we both concluded that it is what happened was totally irrelevant to what he will become.
Yes.
But we still did mention the fact
he played.
He played, and he was 0 of 7, and he ran up and down the court. I will urge people to read the piece that Drew Hill wrote about Cedric Howard over at the Daily Memphian, which is just lovely. And it's... Drew was at the game the other night, and during warmups, he looked over to the stands. There was a gentleman sitting there, and he was wearing some Cedric Howard regalia. This is an older gentleman, and Drew, being the observant, intrepid reporter that he is, he said, "This is interesting. I wonder if he's somehow connected to Cedric Howard." And he went over and talked to the gentleman, and it turned out it was his grandfather. And his grandfather is an Olympic gold medalist.
Wow.
Did you know that?
In what?
He got the gold medal in the relay, track and field. He got the gold medal. It was, I don't know, 4x4. It's in the piece. He got the gold medal in a relay. In the individual event, and this was in Montreal, he finished 5th, whatever his individual event was. But he got the gold medal in the relay. And yes, there's some
76 Montreal games.
There's some good genes there. If I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
And there's some good genes there.
We just can't say it about voluptuous bosoms.
Bosoms.
Yes.
Bosoms. And so he was there to watch his grandson play his first pro basketball game of any sort. Hopefully he'll be back tonight to see his grandson get his first pro basketball basket of any sort. But the bittersweet part of this is that he was there and that Cedric Howard's grandmother died recently and was in the stands sort of a fire and ice couple that the grandfather would be impassive and watching placidly, and the grandmother would be stomping her feet and cheering and whatever else. And they were looking forward to seeing Cedric play together, but she recently passed. And so, listen, I don't think – I think the reason Cedric missed 7 shots was because of rust and because whatever. We all have nights. What am I talking about? People have good nights and bad nights. Shots fall, shots don't. I don't –
It's a make or miss league, Jeff.
I don't think it is that. I don't think one thing had anything to do with the other, and that's not how the story is written, or that's certainly not what Cedric Howard said. But it was, turns out, a emotional night for Cedric Howard, as his grandfather was there and his grandmother was not. And it's a lovely piece, and it's the perfect example of what good reporting is. Like, good reporting isn't like just knocking down doors and getting people to answer tough questions. Like, sometimes it's that, but a lot of times it's noticing something and following that up. And then a story, unravels before you. And that's what happened with Drew. And he wrote it beautifully. It's over at the Daily Memphian. Again, Grizz Celts tonight. We'll talk more about that with Chris Harrington when he pops on the show at 10 o'clock. Before we get to Penny and the Tigers, just some other news. How much baseball are you consuming? We got 4 today, Jeffrey.
So I've been watching. Now that the Cardinals suck, I'm going back to adopting the Mariners, because that was...
You have to say the Mariners, Cal Raleigh, dump 61 here story was just tremendous. The guy wears a shirt to the game. By the way, on the road.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't in Seattle.
Nope.
On the road. It says dump 61 here. So when Raleigh hits 61, doesn't really count as 61. But
I guess we're just making up restrictions.
That's fine.
Like we made up the AL chase for him, Judge.
But for a fan wearing a shirt, sure. I don't dump 61 here. And he freaking caught it.
Correct.
And then he took off the shirt, and there's a shirt underneath that says dump 62 here.
And then on top of that, we had rain, so like he was well prepared.
He was absolutely well prepared. That was brilliant stuff. Seattle wins 8-4, and the Yankees are, you know, they're perfect in elimination games.
They're alive.
They are alive. They are alive. And again, four games today. And then we head from the NFL.
Just going to blow past Aaron Judge earning his pinstripes?
I am.
Okay.
I actually was going to ask you as a Aaron Judge hater.
As a, I actually think he carries himself remarkably well. The acting like when he was hitting home runs that was never going to break any record. It was the fact that they made up a record and acted like the people wanted to watch it when just Yankee fans wanted to watch
performance,
it.
Though.
He finally did something. He finally made a big swing.
Yes, he did.
Congratulations.
In the NFL, we had, let's see. I just love the Jerry Jones thing. And by the way, if there is a, as an avid listener of your afternoon show, if there is a better tell your story, not the story.
Yep.
If there has, I don't know, like if you have a Hall of Fame of
no, yesterday's Jerry.
People telling, yep. Do you have it?
No, that's first pal.
Do you still have the clip? You have it. Jerry Jones, who was caught flipping the bird, and has now been fined $250,000. And if you're listening to a sports show or a quasi sports show, you have probably heard what he said, but it was just the nerve. Like I don't know that there has ever been a better tell your story, not the story, than Jerry Jones.
All right.
It was unbelievable.
I'm not great with Instagram, so but like I have, let's see. Let's try this one more time.
If not, we can move on. You know, we're all, in the end.
Fans, the finger, were you just telling them how many wins they're going to have this year, or was that like their IQ?
You know, that was unfortunate that was a kind of a exchange with our fans out in front of us. There was a swarm of Cowboy fans out in front, not Jet fans, Cowboy fans. And the entire stadium was brimming with the enthusiasm of Cowboys, and certainly late in the game. And that was inadvertent on my part, because that was right after we'd made our last touchdown. And we were all excited about it. There wasn't any antagonistic issue or anything like that. I just put up the wrong show on the hand, but that was inadvertently done. And I'm not kidding. It was, if you want to call it accidental, you can call it accidental, but it got straightened around pretty quick. I've had a chance to look at it. It got straightened around pretty quick, but the intention was thumbs up and then basically pointing at our fans, because everybody was jumping up and down excited.
Go Cowboys. Ever. It is the best thing ever. The intention was to give a thumbs up.
I hate when that happens, when I fire off a one-finger salute, but I meant to go thumbs up.
Just
meant to hit you with a Mickelson, but instead just
hit you with a bird. I think we can say that is something that has never happened.
I think that's fair. Or to me, it's like, it's even worse. It's like, hey, Jerry, if that's true, like, are you losing it?
It's just the best.
So should you be in charge of your roster?
And then the other fine, Jerry was fined $250,000. The Cardinals fired maybe next. Jonathan Gannon, that was a slip of the tongue. We're all just living on a little blue dot, people.
It's inadvertent, 100,000
for
go Cowboys
for his physical interaction with DeMarcado after the fumble.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
This is one of the weakest, softest, like I'll be the boomer, whatever, however you want to say. Like,
yeah.
This is absolutely absurd. He literally cost his team. That man is responsible for 53 guys and winning games. The fact that you can't go and like what is he supposed to do it in the privacy? And the fact that the league is
you can yell at him. I think the idea is you're not allowed to touch him. You know, you can't put your hands on someone. I mean, that's
he's wearing pads.
That is why, though. That is why. Isn't that why?
Well,
it wasn't supposed to be in privacy. It was because it was
because he poked his finger at his chest.
That's the problem. Yeah, it is. That's why. That is why. It is the.
But
it is
so
the
we're just acknowledging it's all imaging.
No, because I think if he'd done it in private, it would have been the same. I don't think it's imaging.
But if he'd done it in private, he would have gotten killed.
Well, that's fine. But I think if he'd done it in private, it would have been the same. You're not. I think that's the line. You can disagree with whether that line should exist anymore. But I think I'm with you.
How is that threatening?
He did not haul off and punch him.
Correct. This is absurd. And the fact that the league is choosing to make it an issue is also insane to me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And then we had the trade, and I completely agree.
Free Jameis.
I completely agreed with your take on it. I actually do understand why you don't want Jake Browning to be your quarterback.
Totally. Anymore, Jake, right? Browning should not play quarterback anymore.
I understand that. And I think, honestly, it's a situation where, because Gabe was asking me, well, why not just tank at this point? Why not? Who cares who your quarterback is? Whatever. My view is, I think it becomes a problem in the locker room. It becomes a problem with the wide receivers. Like,
we're already seeing.
And you're already. So I think you had to do something. It's just you and I agree that the much more entertaining thing to have done,
give us Jameis,
would be to go get Jameis, particularly when you have no offensive line. And
I mean, part of the reason Flacco's not playing for the Browns is he can't move.
Right. No offensive line and Flacco can't move. We do now have the enhanced drama in Cleveland. As Shador, we presume. Right now, he's second on the depth chart. They still have Bailey Zappe, who they could activate for the active roster on the practice squad. But right now, it appears
Gabriel was fine.
Gabriel was fine, but quarterbacks get hurt. I don't know if you've seen the league.
Especially smaller ones.
Do you believe that Shador will get meaningful snaps this year?
To me,
by that, I don't mean like they're down 21 and so the last 2 minutes clean up for Dylan. I mean meaningful because either they want to try it or because Dylan Gabriel gets hurt.
To me, like I've always, so far this has kind of played out the way that I thought it was going to. Like they were going to go with Flacco. You knew that wasn't going to last long. Then they were going to go to Gabriel. Gabriel's going to be limited by physical traits. And then at some point they're going to go to Shador. They're going to keep trying what they have.
Okay. I think we've basically covered the bases before I get to Penny. So I went to Penny's, and we'll talk again more with this about John Martin, about this with John Martin here in a bit. I went to Penny's availability yesterday. Now Penny's talked at golf tournaments and whatnot, but this was sort of the unveiling of the team press conference, right? This was the, now I'm going to formally sit down, at the lectern and I'm going to talk about the year to come. And what was surprising to me, and I'm not by word count, I'm not sure that the majority of the conversation was about attendance and that sort of thing, enthusiasm, how hard it is to be the fan. And some of it was then driven by questions. But it did become the theme of the press conference. Is Penny, and he was asked about how hard it is in this day and age to put a team together every year.
Yeah.
Right. The question was about him, how hard it is for a coach. And he answered it by talking about the fans. It's the main gripe that the fans are having right now. You get a new team every year. It's just very difficult. It's the main gripe that fans are having right now. They don't know any of the players and it's a new team every year. And they really haven't been able to get engaged. He went on. I hear about it all the time. Hey, we don't even know the team. What kind of team is this? It's just the times that we're in. It's kind of sad because we've lost that fandomonium. When you know who is coming back, you've got somebody's jersey, you know who's who. Then he went on to talk. Well, I asked him, I'll be honest. I had heard that the Hoops for St. Jude tickets are going fine, but not that different from last year.
Sure.
Like, and we had thought Cal's coming back. Arkansas's coming in. This is going to be a celebration of that team. Surely.
That era, yeah.
Plus, you're going to have Arkansas fans coming from across. Like, surely, and that team in that era. And, yeah, this is going to be a big moment. Surely, they're going to, if not sell out, they're going to pack the house. And I learned yesterday that ticket sales are above 6,000, and they've got some weeks to go. But that is not packing the house. We can agree on that, right? Yeah. And so then
an AAC game.
Then it started to come up. Yeah, that's it. Then it then
excuse me. That's an American game.
Conversation went on about the challenges downtown. There's a lot that has happened in our city. A lot that has happened in the economy, and you just see the numbers being down. It's just there's a dark cloud or a stigma over the downtown area right now. People just aren't coming down, etc. He did say about the about Hoops for St. Jude. Come on, it's vitally important. If you're going to be hometown, if you're going to care about the Tigers, obviously care about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This is a layup. If you don't come to another game, this will be the game you come to and support the hospital, support the team, and be a part of something special. So that became the theme of the day. And I wasn't going to write a column about it, but I wrote a column about it because it was just like Penny is interesting whenever he talks. Well, you know, whatever. You can agree, disagree. He does not shy away from difficult things, and he has interesting opinions. And I guess this is what I'd say about it. It is very true. If you were to name, Jeffrey, the reasons or rank the reasons why attendance has fallen, and we have before recounted the turnstile count, how it's down this year, down last year from the year before, down dramatically, obviously, from Penny first got here, and that last year it was not appreciably different than it was for Tubby's last year.
Yep.
Right? And so we've talked about that reality. If you were to rank the reasons why it is so, what's the number one reason?
I think cost.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not say that. I would say number one reason.
We stopped going to stuff.
It wasn't even in my top. No. For the Tigers, I think the number one reason, what I would have been talking about between one and two are they haven't gone to a Sweet 16 in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they haven't been that good. Like, right? And two, the schedule. The schedule stinks, and they haven't been that good. And so that's why people, because the truth of the matter is, it's like people talk about the cost. I was talking to someone about, someone was complaining about Tennessee football games. This was when I was on the panel with Sexton at this event, and a lawyer raised his hand and complained about the cost of Tennessee football games. He said, if they keep charging this, I don't know how they. And Jimmy came up to me later. He said, their waiting list is, and I forgot what he said.
I think it's like 10 years.
So as I do agree that cost is a deterrent, and the cost of sporting events, as concerts, sporting events, whatever, as particularly in a poorer city like Memphis. But I do think that if the cost would be exactly what it was, and if you had Cal's teams playing, because Cal didn't play a great conference schedule either, but better than this, because you had, you know, if you had Cal's teams playing Cal's schedule, or you had Larry's teams playing Larry's schedule, or you had Dana Kirk's teams playing, like, I think it would still be, if not 18,000, I think those days are gone. 12. I think it's, and I don't know which one you would rank first, but I would rank those above cost. I would say the fact that they've honestly just not been good is probably one. Schedule is two. Maybe cost is three. For me, cost would be three. And then what he talks about, which is the players changing every year and fans can't connect. I do think that's a factor, but I'll tell you this. there are places where the teams are changing, and if you're kicking ass, people get over it. Don't you think?
Like, yeah, so my second one would be hope. And I think that this kind of speaks to kind of an all-encompassing thing because, A, I think fans are beaten down by the conference situation of and realignment and where they are in the pecking order. But to your point about, well, Tennessee doesn't have problems selling out, Ole Miss doesn't. You know, the idea that either you're going to be good this year or that you've got this ability now, like Ole Miss fans are excited because they have this ability to compete at a level they probably haven't. And
well,
so,
doesn't it come down to you want to be either now or in the future? Look, there is something special going on that you want to be a part of, right?
Yeah.
And right now, with all due respect, I do think like the downtown stuff is not meaningless either. Like, I think it is meaningful. And here's the thing that to the extent that, and I was talking about this with John yesterday, we were having some we were going back and forth about this. I said, because he's big on they haven't won, right? I think, and we'll bring him in here and he'll talk about this in a minute. He's big on they haven't won. They haven't been to a Sweet 16 in forever.
Is the last Sweet 16?
Last Sweet 16 09? Is the loss to Missouri, yeah.
Good God.
I mean, and so.
They're kids that can drive now.
Well, that's the thing. It's just no one has ever. So I, but this is also true. You can come up with individual reasons for individual things. Like, they're not going to the Tigers because of the schedule. They're not going to the Grizzlies because Ja's hurt. They're not going to the Zoo. I don't know why. There's no longer Pandas. We did lose the Lion. They're not, like, in the end, there is also a reluctance to leave your house.
A malaise
that extends over everything, it feels like, in Memphis or a lot of things, whether it's your favorite restaurant or whether it's the Zoo or whether it's the Grizzlies or whether it's Tiger football or whether it's Tiger basketball. And so you can come up with individual reasons for each one of those ones. But there is also this overarching, everything's gotten to be a little tougher now. Everything. And so there's something bigger than all these individual things. But still, I think with the Tigers, and the problem is that, and I absolutely make the case and continue to make the case that night, like, I do think it is an exhibition game, but I do think that night against Arkansas should be special. And so I don't think it's like a game against, you know, against East Carolina, you know, in February. I don't think it's that. I think it is, in fact, something special. And all the money goes to St. Jude. And so if you haven't bought a ticket for that, I actually, again, spend your money how you want to spend your money. Penny said it's a layup, and I do think that event and those kids and everything deserve your support. I'll just say that. I think they deserve the community's support. But then beyond that, the problem is, although Penny is correctly identifying that they have lost the fandemonium, I don't think there's any way to get it back. Certainly not this year. Like, there's nothing in the future that suggests – in the immediate future that suggests you're going to get it back. Is it? Is there?
I mean, I guess if they're undefeated, but like that, how realistic is that?
I mean, if they have,
it's tough to do a whole lot better than they did last year. Right.
And if that didn't bring back the fandemonium. And by the way, the fact that we're talking about it now suggests it didn't. Right.
Well, the numbers suggest it.
So, and the numbers suggest it. So if that didn't bring back
they spent a majority of the year ranked.
And by the way, here's the other thing. I really don't think yesterday when Penny said this, he was not saying it by way. I really don't believe, like, you can interpret it as quote an excuse. I don't think that's he actually was. And it's one of the interesting things about having a Memphian as the head coach who has been a Memphis Tiger fan. He was saying it out of empathy. That's what he was saying. He said, I hear you, Memphis Tiger fans. It was more fun when you got to know the players. It was more fun when you could buy a jersey and the same player would be back the next year and the next year. It was more fun when you could see a player develop for 3 years. Like, he was saying it out of empathy. He wasn't like making excuses for himself.
Whining.
He just wasn't. But I'll say this. it's not in the rules that you have to have a whole team, a new team every year. You can actually keep the core of a team together. Lots of teams do.
It's expensive.
Well, that's the thing. It's expensive.
I mean, I do also think that, like, I'm not ruling this out. I think less of, I think people, I think there's a narrative that the roster turnover is, like, what people gripe the most. And it's like, yeah, I think it's mentioned, but I think in the end, the problem that everyone has is they're looking at it and going, like, wait a minute. How much did the program make? And yet again, like, I'm the one that has to fund it all. Like, I think that's what everyone's pushing back on.
I honestly don't think at all. If you were in the SEC,
yep,
and you were a very good team in the SEC, no one would be caring. No one would give a flip about that. Just like right now, they don't give a flip at
right,
Ole Miss.
But they would also
they
have more
money. Flip at Tennessee.
But they would have more money to spend if they were in the SEC.
I don't think it's that this is too, we can come together on this. It's not that it's too expensive. It's too expensive for what it is.
Yes. Okay.
For what it is, which is true of anything. Like a Taylor Swift concert.
Yes.
Ticket is too expensive, but it's Taylor Swift. So you pay it, right?
Right. But also season tickets are not an experience. You know what I mean? Like in the end, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll spend all this money to go to Taylor Swift. But like, I understand like, it's the one time, unless you're Lexi when going seven times on multiple continents.
Yes, but I agree with that. But you do it. Tennessee football is an experience. You are committing to season tickets, and you're like, I don't care what it costs. I just want to be a part of that. And I don't think that feeling exists because here's the truth. I think a lot of people who still have their season tickets for Memphis Tiger basketball are doing it out of loyalty, even though they're not excited about the product.
I guess I would say the one difference, though, is if you get Tennessee season tickets, like, you can usually sell one or two of those tickets and pay for the whole
Again,
thing.
But that's because the experience is worth it, and so other people want to be a part of it.
Right.
In the end, that's it. People go to things that are fun and exciting and compelling. We're going to talk to John Moore about this in a moment. I'll tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Issa and his team at Keller Williams Realty would be the folks to call. 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. I've been telling you, if you want to do the instant cash offer route, don't take one of these robocalls or these folks who are out of towners who are besieging you because they're going to lowball you. Josh Issa and the team will give you a full market price offer for your home. They're local. They're not going to like whatever. They want to make sure you are made whole. But I'll also say this. He'll come out to your home, tell you what it's worth. But if he believes that by selling it the traditional way, he can make you more money, he will do that, as he did with a recent client named Grayson, who had a sick relative, needed to get out of the house, was going to actually go the instant cash offer route. And then Josh came out and said, you know what? I think we can sell this house the traditional way and get even more money. And sure enough, that is what they did. Once again, it's Josh Issa, 901-461-8147, joshhasthebuyers.com. John Martin, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. Busy day on the Jeff Calkins Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. Jason and John every single day from 11 to 2. Then we got Chris Harrington. Then we have Sam Hardiman. Hey, John, how are your mentals?
Good.
Are they?
Should they be bad?
No, I think I was a little, I was wandering around.
He was in his feels earlier.
I was in my mentals were a little shaky earlier, and so I asked.
I mean, Jeff, I think my mentals are like on the whole worse than they, you know, on
actually,
average.
You seem like in a decent place recently. Now that I reflect on it, you seem like.
Yeah, I think like my walking around mentals are on the whole worse than they would have been 6 years ago. But I think a lot has happened.
I brought it up because I'm anxiety filled and stressed for no particular reason, you know. So I just
I'm definitely stressed. I mean, I think every person deals with that.
How much of it is? How much truly? If I'm going to get to the Tiger's Den, if you literally just shut down all social media for a month, don't you think you'd feel less stressed?
I think you would be like, yeah, I mean.
Or would you be stressed at the fact that you didn't have access to social media?
No, I don't think you would feel stressed that you, no. I think the social media thing, you know, if you really kind of, you know, get in the weeds of it, you know, it'll definitely, I mean, I've been there. Like, I've called you over the weekend about tweets that pissed me off, you know, like, if I just didn't see those tweets, I would never know they're being sent. So it would make me feel better.
Okay. Yesterday, we talked off the air, and I've been talking about this earlier on the show. I went to Penny's availability where he talked about that they've lost the fandemonium. And I wasn't planning to write about Penny's availability, but when he said all the things he said, the column really does mostly just writes down what he said, and I have some reflections on it. But when you just take the topic as a whole, what's your reaction to what Penny said and to where they are?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that go into it. I don't think it's any just, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, you could sit down, you could draw a pie chart of reasons that, you know, Memphis basketball attendance is not what it once was, at least in terms of attendance now, or official turnstile, whatever. Now, if you want to use announced attendance, you know, a ticket sold, whatever, that's going to be a very different conversation. But I know that we're focused on, you know, a turnstile, which, you know, I don't know if every other community is focused on the turnstile or not. But there's no doubt that the atmosphere isn't what it used to be there. And, you know, I would say it's a lot of things. I would say it's the perception of downtown and you know, Memphis as a whole. Everything is kind of going the other way, or has been going the other way in terms of, you know, excitement and things like that. I think it's about the conference, which is just a complete snoozer for 2.5 months of the season. And you know what? I think it is about internally what the program has done on the court. You know, at some point, yes, in an ideal world, everybody would attend and everybody would go and everybody would just support and this would be fantastic. And man, no matter what happens, we're just going to support this team. But in a big city where you have other things to do and you have the Grizzlies and you have other things, you know, I do think it's incumbent upon the product at some point to give back to the fans. And let's just call it what it is. It hasn't done that. It hasn't done that. There have been moments. There have been flashes. There have been little glimpses of, you know, the 5 seed last year. But of course, you lose the first round. You know, let me say,
because I fundamentally agree. Like, if I was to rank the reasons, right, I think literally my number one reason would be winning, right? Even more than conference, right? Because if you were in a conference getting your ass kicked, I'm not, you know, but they both matter. Those would be 1 and 1A, very clearly, right? Level of accomplishment and conference, meaning how compelling are the games, right? Aren't those 1 and 1A? Jeffrey went Price, and I think it's a factor. And then there's the downtown, and then there's the turnover, and then there's all that stuff. But could you agree with me that winning and the conference are 1 and 1A in some order?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the one question I have then. Like, last year they were great. Why didn't it get better last year? Like, last year they won. Last year they rolled through their non-conference schedule, should have created great excitement. Yeah, we didn't really see an uptick in frenzy because it needs.
I mean, because everybody's gone. I mean, there's no.
Everybody's gone. They're gone.
That team's not coming back.
Oh, I see. I meant during the year. Oh, I see. You think they could have built off of that.
Oh, well, during the year, no. During the year, no. It's a lagging indicator.
It's a building thing. And they're gone, and they didn't go on a run either. you know.
They lost the first round. They lost in the first round to a freaking Mountain West team, you know, a 12 seed. It's kind of depressing, really, when you think about it. And the biggest pieces of that team, Dane, Tyrese, PJ, et cetera, they don't play here anymore. So, you know, you're not going to have like this mid-season explosion. You know, that's not how season tickets happen.
No, you're
it's done in the off-season where you're building up to an anticipated season. And people aren't anticipating the seasons anymore. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be interested when the games start, but they're not sitting around. Where's the Derrick Rose billboards? You know, well, where's the hype?
Is that if you start with like, and again, I'm not saying he could have kept it at the fever pitch of his first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we went over the numbers recently. I don't have them in front of me now, but the numbers his first year were staggering, right? Both in terms of the announced attendance was great, season tickets were great, and whatever. And then honestly, if we're just going to be honest here, he hasn't delivered. There was great excitement 8 years ago.
Yes.
And then he hasn't been able to sustain that excitement.
It's not unlike, honestly,
like Ryan Silverfield has done a better job lately of doing that, right? But Ryan Silverfield started with a great season ticket base too, right?
Right.
And it's been, and neither one of them, Ryan's doing a hell of a lot better, whatever. Both actually are coming off of good years, and Ryan's in the midst of something maybe special now. So maybe that will be a generator. But neither one of them was able to hold on to what they had, right? Because in the end, they didn't deliver.
They didn't like Memphis sports has not delivered.
That's just true. None of them. You know, who's delivered? And women's soccer's delivered.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I just think we have to start with the internal accountability. Like I know that there are people out there who are of the mind that, you know, no matter what, people should be. But like this isn't New Mexico, okay, where there's literally nothing else to do. This isn't Iowa, where there's, you know, I mean, I went through a list. I went through a list of programs that have had a Sweet 16 drought of 16 that have made a Sweet 16, right? And then have a drought of 16, 14, 12 years or more. And how many of those programs still average 8,000 a game, let alone 11,000 a game, which is what Memphis announced last year. There's only 21 teams in the country. There's only 21 teams in America. It's Division I of 300. I don't even know how many there are now, over 350. Only 21 teams in the country have had a Sweet 16 drought of, let's call it, 11 years or more and still average over 8,000.
That is more than I would have thought, honestly.
Well, when you look through the teams themselves, it's really not. First of all, how about this? How about we boil it down to non-Power Five? Let's do that. Let's really boil it down. So that leaves you with the following teams: Dayton, Memphis, New Mexico, and Utah State, and Boise State. So five teams.
And now you're going to disparage those fine communities and saying they're boring.
Well, what stands out to you about that list of when I boil it down to five?
Boise,
Dayton.
No, not Boise's not a basketball school.
New Mexico.
I'm surprised Boise does, honestly.
And Utah State.
Jeffrey, you were about to speak.
No, I mean the first thing is like all of those are like very standalone program. Like there's not an NBA team. There's not a, you know what I mean? There's not.
And they're in like the Midwest or.
You're saying they're places where there's nothing else to do.
100%. And so
they're certainly not competing with the Grizzlies. Right.
Memphis stands out amongst that group. And the rest is Power Five. The rest is like your, you know, your Ole Miss, your Mississippi, and Ole Miss obviously just made the Sweet 16.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You're saying there should be some internal accountability because, listen, if they just kick ass, we wouldn't have this problem, right?
Correct.
How about the issue, though, that you constantly also bring up? They don't have the revenue anymore because a lot of it goes to football or because of whatever. They don't have the revenue anymore to kick ass.
Well, I mean, I think they have enough to eventually, I mean, make a Sweet 16.
He did talk about this, by the way. He said we have far and away the most in conference.
Right.
He said that yesterday. You know. And then he said, and we're not too shabby out of conference. That's what he said.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they have come into some more money, and that there will be more money ultimately. I mean, look, here's the facts. Penny Hardaway should have a Sweet 16 by now.
100%.
He just should. And I mean, he had more money than Florida Atlantic, right? When they lost Florida Atlantic in 2023, he was up 10 at the half against Gonzaga. You know, you're a big favorite in that. I mean, I know it's Gonzaga, but, you know, you're up 10, and you have Jalen Duren, and you have Amani Bates in that group, you know? So Penny Hardaway should have at least one Sweet 16 under his belt, and I could argue two, and he has none. And so – look, I love Penny. I love the growth he's shown the last couple of years. I am hopeful about his season. But when we're going to have this conversation about attendance and why there isn't hype about the team, it's because there isn't hype about the team. That's the problem.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And I think your broader thing, actually, about these – is it fair to say Memphis football hasn't delivered? Like, is it fair to say that no Memphis? Is it fair to say that the Grizzlies
haven't been to the conference championship game? So no, they have not delivered.
They've had they've had if not the best job in the league the last few years.
Is it fair to say the Grizzlies haven't delivered?
Yes,
because they haven't. Certainly, the last 2 years they really haven't delivered. They've been disappointing.
They looked like they would be a finals contender.
But they haven't delivered. If that's what we're saying. Delivered on the promise of what we expected. The Tigers basketball team has not delivered on the promise that we expected, right? Even not the multiple Final Fours, but just the Grizzlies have not delivered on the promise that we thought when John Jaren were, you know,
yes.
And Memphis football hasn't delivered on the promise. Maybe they will this year. They're the ones who feel closest to doing it this year on the promise that's all fair.
I think that's completely fair because I know we think about the Grizzlies right now, but the Memphis Grizzlies in 2021, 22, and 2023 were coming off of two straight seasons where they were the two seed. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, they should have a Western Conference Finals by now, and they do not for a lot of different reasons, but they do not. So Memphis basketball.
What's weird
is they're
all a little bit prisoner of having established expectations for themselves by succeeding and then failing to live up to those expectations.
Well, and also, I think it even applies to the Grizzlies. There's also this changing landscape. Like in the NBA, being a two seed used to be like just a pass, at least to the next round. Now with the play-in, with everybody not really taking the regular season seriously, like the seven seed was the Lakers.
Right. John, you know who hasn't delivered? Pete Carroll.
I call him Auto Pen Pete. hey, let me just say.
Okay. Yeah.
I lost my train of thought, like Joe. And
see, your mentals. I asked you about your mentals, and you didn't realize, like, there's a reason for it. We're concerned, John. We're concerned.
They got a good chance this week.
Auto Pen John. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah.
See, we got to get out of here. We got Chris Harrington coming up next, then Sam Hardiman. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.